There's a passage in the book of Luke 4 and 18, and it reads like this. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus talking, and he's reading as well as talking about himself, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now, how many of you all know there are several broken hearts in the world? A bunch of people that are brokenhearted. "To proclaim," in other words, open my mouth and proclaim liberty or freedom to the captive. And it's something about being captive at one point that you can cry it because you know what it looks like to be captive, and now you're free and you want to tell everybody else you can be free as well. "To preach the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Oppressed means pushed down, blind. I can't even see what's happening around me. Not only eyesight, but also spiritually blind. It says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, this is that day. The Bible says he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Eyes of all were upon him, and the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And he closed the book, sat down, said, "Message is over." Drop the mic. Boom. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. Thank you for what you're speaking to us. We want to hear your voice. We want your will to be done, God. I thank you, God, someone came hungry. And we pray that those needs are met in the matchless name of somebody's life depends upon it. I thank you, God, that we intercede not only for those that are here, but even those that are listening. Maybe even online. But God, may they be encouraged. On television, may they be encouraged. Speak a fresh word to us today, God. We hear your voice, and we say yes to your will. And we say, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a real good God. Good God bless you. He's a good God. When I look at this passage and think about what time it is, what do you mean? You know, it's almost noon, but you know, the fact of the matter is that there'd been so many things happening in the world, and God was raising up someone to come and set things in order and put things in perspective, and people that were hurting and broken. And God says, "I've got to raise someone." Jesus himself said, "It's been 800 years, and know that the prophecy was given in Isaiah." Jesus picked up the scroll and began to read what Isaiah said 800 years ago. Can I let you know, just because prophecy hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Some of us say, "Well, it didn't happen in my life yet." Well, 800 years later, Jesus comes on the scene and says, "I'm the one that has come to set things in order. I'm the one to preach the gospel." And he didn't come by himself, but the Bible says that the Spirit of God is upon him. The Spirit of God is upon him. What is the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit is upon him. And whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, some say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I'm okay with the thing about the Father. And I'm okay with the thing about the Son, but the Holy Spirit is kind of, you know, I don't really want to talk too much about that because I don't know too much about it." But can I let you know that God wants us to explore the Father, God the Son, and the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Ghost. Are you with me today? And I know that many people kind of steer away from it, but just because of some of the misuse, some of the abuse that's taken place in the past. But I want you to know that God wants to give clarity as it relates to, you know, why he is important, who he is, and how he will benefit us in the day, in today's time. So Jesus was getting ready to prepare because he understood that his public ministry was very important. So the Bible tells us that he was about to be baptized, and he was going to be baptized of John in the Jordan River. And the Bible says that he began to pray. Heaven opened up, and a dove descended from heaven. It was like in bodily form, the Holy Spirit ascended like a dove upon Jesus. And that we got the Son, we have the Holy Spirit, you know, and then the Father spoke. That's the Trinity. the Father spoke out of heaven and said, you know, this is my beloved Son who brings me great joy. That's the affirmation. And then after that, he was tested and he was ready for ministry. How many of you all know that you too, you know, have been affirmed? God has called you into great things. He's saying, I am with you. Go forth, and I've got your back too. But he doesn't send you by yourself. He sends the power of the Holy Spirit with you. And he anoints you. Look what the scripture says here. He says that the Spirit of God is upon me. Why is he upon me? Let's read it. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to do what? So there are poor folks that need the gospel preached to them. He's talking about people. There are people that need the gospel preached to them. What do you mean? There can be poor of spirit. They can be poor financially. But they need the gospel message, the good news preached to them. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. In other words, there are people that their hearts are broken. There are people that their hearts are broken, and they're coming to us. And guess what? We are the hands and feet of Jesus. We've got to be ready to preach the gospel and share healing with those that have broken hearts. Are you with me today? To proclaim freedom or liberty to the captive, those that are enslaved, and to also the recovery of sight to the blind. Can I just share this with you? When he talks about recovery of sight to the blind, there are a lot of people that have their eyes, but they are so blind. What do you mean by that, man? In our nation, man, there are a lot of things that they are legalizing and saying that this is the way it should be. But man, if they could see God's through the lenses of God, they'd say, well, that's not God's plan. It got quiet in the house on that one. Man, I mean, they're blind people because even the Bible said the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. If you don't believe there's a God, then you are blind. Thank you, God. If you think that legislation is going to fix our economy and our situation in America, you are blind. Thank you, God. So he sent me to open the eyes, and we are praying right now for an awakening in America. Are you with me today? Is anybody believing God for an awakening? Thank you, God. So there's going to be or a need for sight to be recovered, and then to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, look at this, if you will. He says, and also to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Why would he say that? Why would Jesus say that? He says, you know, I'm the one that's come to set some things in place, and I'm going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, this was prophesied 800 years ago, and now he's come on the scene. There's been all types of prophecy of the past and even promises of the future, but Jesus says, today, right now, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Not way back then, not sometime in the future. Can I let you know, folks, this is our day. This is our time. You know, witness to a neighbor. Neighbor, this is your moment. Now, do you all really believe that? One more time. One more. Say, this is your moment. Here's why I say it's your moment, folks. More people have died than is living now. Does that make sense? All these people have gone, they've lived, and they've off the scene. We're still here. That means we can still impact the other people that are here. This is our hour. I don't want our hour to pass without us doing what God said, called us to do. That's why Jesus says, you know, when he healed the blind man and spit, and he says, I must do the work of them. They were talking about who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind. And then Jesus says, neither have sinned, but I must work the works of them that sent me while it is day. When he's talking about day, while I'm on this earth. Because when night comes, no man can work. I don't want to be on the other side. I wish I had it done. No, let's do it today. Are you with me today? Give God a praise in this place to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is our hour. That just sounds good. Just sounds good. Let me share this. I was preaching some number of years ago in an early part of my ministry, and down in Southern Illinois, actually. And I was preaching on faith and healing and so forth. And I became sick. I began while I'm preaching on faith and healing. You know, devil try to make you into a lie. And I told him he was a lie. And I was about to throw up. My eyes got nauseous. And I'm thinking like, God, please don't let me throw up while I'm preaching. Because I'm preaching about healing. He's going to say, well, he need to be healed first. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, hey, I want you to pay attention to there's a young lady in the corner, and she was in the right corner. I still remember her, a young lady, and she was going through some things, and she was possessed of the devil. She was looking, and she was moving like a snake, taking place in the church, I recognized her, and I immediately focused my eyes on her and began to pray. And then someone says, well, you take her out. And because, you know, when things begin to happen, you know, sometimes people don't know how to deal with it. And if you've never dealt with it before, you want to take out because you don't understand what to do. I said, no, don't take her out. Bring her up here. Bring her up here, because, you know, God is looking for opportunity for him to move in his power. You can't do it in your own strength, but the Holy Spirit upon you can do the work, but you've got to have the faith. I said, bring her up here. And other people were saying, well, she's this and she's that. Now, understand, I know people have been through stuff, and people have gone through challenges in life, and they were almost mad because of the way her life had turned. But when I had a chance to speak to her, I said, listen, you know, I don't know where you've been. I don't know all of your history, but I do know one thing, that God is here to deliver you today. So in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of divination to leave you right now. Satan, you have no power over her life. The blood of Jesus sets you free today. You know, that lady's changed right then, began to smile. The very stronghold that was holding her captive, she got up and began to give God praise and glory. It's not time for the church to send people away, but it's time for the church to rise up and cast out demons. Somebody give God a praise in this house. You've got to follow this, because after I talked to her, she came the next day, because we had a morning session, and she was just bubbling and giving God glory. Because here's what happens, is we begin to point our fingers at people and point at them, as opposed to point to the enemy that's trying to influence them. Are you with me today? Then I began to talk to her and found out that she was rejected and abused as a child, and told that, just like on the screen earlier, talked about that you're ugly, you'll never be anything. Sometimes people will speak death and damnation over your life, and then you wonder why you are where you are. We have the word of life in us, and we must speak life. We must come against strongholds. We, the church, must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Are you with me today? Have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the... But I'm talking about the church. Are you with me? This is our hour. Shout it with me one more time. This is our hour. Do you really believe it? Well, give him a praise in this house. So there are so many individuals, and after I talked to her, I kind of found out how the devil was able to gain access. When you've had your heart broken and your heart hasn't been healed, it leaves access for an enemy to come in and set up residence. Boy, I'm preaching good today. That's why God sent Jesus to heal broken hearts. If I can heal the individual's broken heart, they won't have that brokenness and being always down and wanting to feel that brokenness with alcohol, with crack cocaine, with men. Are you with me today? With illicit sex, with all these things. And even be spending a whole lot of money. Why? Because I'm trying to feel that emptiness, that brokenness, with something that was never meant to feel that broken heart. But Jesus came with the anointing to feel that brokenness. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Thank you, Lord. And the church has largely tried to do church without the anointing and without the Holy Spirit. You know, we say, well, I've been a part of this church, and nothing wrong with this church or that church, because some of them came out of the Baptist church, some came out of the Lutheran church, some came out of the Methodist church. And in many of the background settings, you know, if anything like that happened, they said this was not of God, and they would send people away from the church, because, in fact, other churches from the other side of town have sent people to us and said, we don't deal with demons, we don't deal with people that have been oppressed and beat down. There's a church though on the other side of town called Abundant Faith. Go see them, because we don't deal in that. God is calling the church in this last hour to rise up, that people can be set free. Are you with me today? I feel a preach coming on for real. Somebody give him a shout in this house. If the church only goes through the motions every Sunday, if we only go through, let me sing a few good songs, let the band sound good, and thank God that our band sounds real good. Thank God for that. But they say, let the preacher just preach a nice message and leave everybody feeling good, but somehow we've got to rise up in this last hour, and the church has to be the church. Somebody give God a shout in this house. If we remove the Holy Spirit, they say, well, I don't understand him. You don't have to understand him. I don't understand my wife, but I'm living with her. Can't do without her, hallelujah. That's my girl. But I don't understand. I said, why? 39 years, I would think I would, but man, hey. But here's the thing, you don't have to understand everything about the Holy Spirit. I don't understand everything about God. If you did, then you would be God. But I do know this, is that the Holy Spirit, he is our comforter, what the Bible said about it. So, and instead of us pushing him away, we need to bring him closer to us and recognize his presence within us. Does that make sense? We say, well, I understand the Father because I've had a father and I've seen fathers and how they operate. And I understand the prodigal son and how the son, you know, his father continued to love him. That's a really good thing. So I can understand the Father. And I understand the Son because Jesus put on flesh and came down and dwelt among us. And he was the son of Mary and Joseph, kind of. But he was the Son of God all the way. And so I understand that. But the Holy Spirit, how can I understand it? Because I haven't seen him. And therefore, when stuff starts happening in church, I want to hide and get away because it looks scary to me. I'm just letting you know, because that was me. I was the one when they started bucking and running. I was like, uh-oh, it's time for me to go down in the basement. That was me. That was me when they started, you know, speaking in tongues and prophesying. I was like, oh, it's time for us to go. Why? Because I didn't understand it. And then, you know, I wasn't a part of a teaching church, even though there was a whole lot of demonstration taking place, a lot of things happening. But, you know, it wasn't until I got to read what the word says and be around someone that could teach me what God's word said that I understand that this is something good for us, not something to run away from, but to run toward. Are you with me today? Somebody give him a praise. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is the most misunderstood person in the Trinity. So therefore, God is giving us how to speak and declare it with clarity. So let me start off by asking the question, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? Wow. I know I jumped and they're going to say, Pastor, so I'll get back to the other part later on. Hallelujah. So let me ask this question. Who is he? Can I start off by saying the third person of the Trinity? You know, and say, well, help me out with that. Well, can I let you know that next, he is a person and not an it? Some people think he's just power. He's just power, power. I say electricity is power. You know, and if you know, the difference between electricity power versus, you know, the Holy Spirit is a person. He has a will. He has intellect. He has emotions. Because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Electricity shock you. It won't think nothing about it. You sit there, and you say, well, I'm sorry. No. Electricity is power, But he's not a person. Electricity is not a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. You can talk to him. You can grieve him. He'll listen to you. Thank you, God. He'll give you direction. Are you with me today? He's a person. The other thing about the Holy Spirit is very important about him is that he's not weird. Say it with me. He's not weird. People are weird. People are weird. You met some weird people that's full of the Holy Ghost. So he is not weird. He's God. And if you don't understand him, he's not weird. Maybe you. Not only is he not weird, because I was telling somebody when I was in school in Indy and studying there, and I was hungry for more God, kind of like Britt. I was like, man, I want all of God. And especially, it's amazing that sometimes you think when you get away from your home area, you're going to, you know, like go on a tangent. But I was more hungry from God than when I was around my parents, because I knew I'm doing this on my own. Ain't nobody making me go to church. No, I'm getting up because I want something of God. Nobody's making me pray. No, God, I need you. Man, grades looking funny. I need you. Man, bank account looking thin, gas high. Hallelujah. I need help. So therefore, when I was there and I went to a church, thank God for the church that I went to, really lovely people. I love them so much, still connected to that group of people. But one thing I remember, they said, well, you don't have the Holy Ghost, son. You need to get on the altar and tarry for it. And so they brought out some chairs, me and some other fellas. And, you know, I remember them tearing over me and this music was going. And that's why I be careful on that. But that's why I don't want to do a form of religion, because see, some people know how to do church but not be the church. See, that's why I'm not making anything happen. No, Lord. Yeah, I want you. I don't want a form of fashion. I don't want to go through just this is what you do next. No, Lord, you come take your boat on the inside of me. I know after I got done, because I was hungry. When you're hungry, you want whatever, you know, that can feed that hunger. And I was like, I want you, God. I would go from this place to that place seeking God. And this particular place, I was sitting on the altar, and they said, well, did you get it? I said, I don't know. And they said, well, did you hear the wind? I said, the wind? I said, well, you don't got it. You don't have it. Because he came like a rushing mighty wind. I'm thinking like, oh, my goodness. So I struggled trying to figure out how to do this thing. And, you know, and people, they can only give you what they have. If that's what they thought, and they thought they heard the wind, well, God may not do the wind with you. Can I just be real in the house? You know, God may speak to you in a different way. He may not speak the same way, may not be the same language that comes out of your mouth that comes out of somebody else's mouth. He may use you in an amazing way that you know without a doubt that was God, the Holy Spirit, upon this flesh to cause you to do things you couldn't do in your natural ability. Are you with me today? So don't let people weird you out. I didn't buck, didn't shout, didn't jump over no pews. But man, God did a work on the inside of me. And I give God glory. I give him praise. Now, I'm not knocking those that did run, jump, and swing from the chandeliers. I'm not mad about that. We are different people. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. But there's an inner voice. So the Holy Spirit, who is he? He is our inner voice. What does he do? He speaks to you. I told you that he spoke to me even about the young lady. And, man, that young lady is still serving God and giving God glory. I'm so glad we didn't push her out of the church and say, well, you got a problem. When we have to get the people with a problem out of church, we got to have church, got to have service. No, man, we got to have deliverance service. If we take the Holy Spirit out of the church, we'll have nothing but a club, nothing but a good-looking building and nice instruments and nice carpet and nice lighting and all the stuff that goes around. But no, we need the main thing. We need God himself to set upon flesh and get the glory as people get set free and delivered. Somebody give God praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. He is not, and some of, before I get off this, he's our inner voice. Some of us need to learn how to tune in, and you've got too many voices, you know, going in your ear for you to hear him. That's why I don't, if people get mad at me because, well, you didn't answer my call, I wasn't trying to answer your call. I sent you an email. I rarely look at my email. Rarely. I tell people, you know, if there's something really important, tell one of the administrators, they'll look up your email and then try to find it, because I'm not doing all that. How can you look at all this stuff and keep your mind on God too? Am I by myself? You know, they say, well, do you have your phone with you? No. Well, I text you. We'll get it one day. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. If you're praying right now and your phone goes off, what does that do? That takes you out of that place. Am I by myself? If here you are focusing on God, right now some of you all say, I should be focusing on God, but so-and-so's texting you. Y'all ain't going to say amen to that. They texting you right where you are, and you trying to focus on God, and you trying to get answer a text. No, I'm going to get with you after church. After church. OMG. But there are too many voices. I believe that's why the prophet, when he wanted to hear from God, the Bible says he sat down and he placed his head between his lap, between his knees. Why? I just got to get rid of all this outside influences. And some of you all, you've got some influences that aren't God, and he's trying to talk to you, and all this other stuff is happening. You can't even watch all the news because you'll begin to feel a certain way. Are you with me today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I put it like this. I wrote some notes. I said it like this. Your life is a direct reflection of those whose voice you're listening to. They're in your ear. I didn't do this morning, but I got to let you know, there are some manipulative people. They've got a goal, and to be truthful, folks, we are manipulative by nature. Getting quiet in the manipulation section. And it, even as children, as babies, my one-year-old, believe it or not, think they know how to manipulate Pawpaw. I mean, they were, and it's not like they're bad. It's just that's human nature. If you're not careful, mothers are trying to manipulate their children. Well. So therefore, we have to recognize we've got to hear God's voice. The other thing is that who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and we all need to be taught. You know, we need to hear from the teacher, and he is the teacher. He is our guide, and the Holy Spirit is our friend. Instead of rejecting him, we need to embrace him. He's our friend and our helper and our comforter. He is our helper and our comforter. Isn't it good to know we have a friend, a helper, and a comforter? Hallelujah. But look what the book of Acts 19:2 says. You know, this is one apostle. He began to share with some of his other believing brothers. And this is what he said. He said, now they're saved too. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It's a question. And he asked them, and these are saved folks. The believers said no. They replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. In other words, we've been going to church, but we ain't heard nothing about the Holy Spirit. We've been reading our Bible, but we haven't heard anything about the Holy Spirit. We've got friends that are believers, but we haven't heard anything about the Holy Spirit. It makes me wonder, what is it about him that makes us not want to embrace him and have him in our regular conversation? Boy, I feel a preach coming on. What is it about the Holy Spirit that we exclude him But we include all the rest of it. Could it be that we need to know who he is? If we knew that he was a friend, if we knew that he was a comforter, that if we knew that he was a helper, we would more include him in everything that we do. Are you with me today? We need him in our decision making. We need him in guiding us. We need him in everything that we do. God, we need you. So, Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do it in his own strength, and neither can you. Somebody give God praise in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let me ask this last question is this. Are you all getting this today? Yeah. The last question is this. And I found out, you know, who he is. Then let me just ask this question. You know, why do we need the Holy Spirit? You know, and I've just got 3 points on this. They're short. But can I start off by letting you know that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to help people with needs. That's the Bible says that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Why? Because there were people that were messed up. Acts is 10 and 38. There were people that had so many issues, and he went about healing them. And the scripture goes on, and they may have this power. They do. Thank you so much. Yeah, put your hands together for them in the back because they be working good. You know, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It says, then after he anointed him, then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by what? For God was, can I let you know if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry? So do you. You all need him in your house. You need him in your schools. You need him on your job. Can I get a good amen in the real section? So why do we need him? He empowers us to live victoriously. He does. He helps us walk in victory because if you know, see, he knows your past, your present, and your future. And since he knows your future, he can tell you what's around the corner. You just got to tap in. Does that make sense? You can walk in victory. Why? Because he reminds you of what God's word says. He brings things to your remembrance. You begin to get shook up and God says, oh, you don't have to worry because greater is he that's on the inside of me than he that's in the world. So you can walk in strength. You are victorious. So he empowers us to live in victory. The other thing he does, he empowers us to live a supernatural life. How many of you all know that God intends for his believers, his children? He's a supernatural God. And he puts you on the earth, but he wants you to live a supernatural life. If he was able to speak to take 2 fish and 5 loaves and make things happen and feed thousands. How many of you all know that God wants you to operate in abundance as well? Thank you, God. You really believe that? Thank you, Jesus. So he empowers me to live supernaturally. You didn't sound convincing. Say it one more time. He empowers me to live supernaturally. Let's give him a real good praise in the house today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm going to wrap it up here. I'm not done, but we're going to follow up, and I just want you to know that God has equipped you. He's equipped you. He's given you everything that you need, not so you can boast in who you are and the power that you have, but God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power so he could help somebody else. You all have been watching the news and you saw that there was some guys that had been shooting and had the AK-47 and others that do other things and they had been shooting. I'd never seen so many mass shootings before in my life. Follow me. I was talking to my friend Mike and he was like saying, Pastor, man, I can look in their eyes and I can see the demon, I can see a devil on the inside of them. And he says, man, they can talk about, you know, the president is causing this. But he said, the president don't have that kind of power. He said that's a demon operating in those individuals. Now, follow me for a minute. If we, the church, don't recognize and open our eyes to see what's going on in the supernatural realm, and all we want to do is begin to hurt people but not see that something needs to come against that stronghold to bind the strong man, to take authority over that which the enemy is trying to kill them with. Thank you, God. I said, Pastor, when you talk about individuals that struggle like that, they have guilt because I've been hurt. I'm trying to retaliate. Sometimes I feel guilty because of the way I think and what I've done in the past. And then it turns into shame. Now I'm hiding and maybe behind all this stuff. And then condemnation. Not only do I want to kill others, but I want to die myself. Thank you, God. But can I remind you that we were declared guilty because of what we messed up and how we messed up. I was declared guilty. Why? Because I sinned. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But do I need to run? No, I don't need to run away and hide in shame. But I need to run boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because he understands where I've been. He understands my feelings. He understands what I'm going through. And your dumb head would tell you, you need to just end it all. The devil came to me this week, lying rascal. He said, you just need to just walk away from it all. I said, devil, that ain't even my thought. Sometimes the devil can talk crazy to you, and you have to remind him, that ain't even my thought, devil. You just lie. You take authority over that enemy and recognize that greater is the one that's in you than he that's in the world. Somebody give him a shout. You can stay on your feet. I gotta go.